I'm Todd Fink.
I'm Clark Beckley.
I'm DePose.
I'm Jacob Pose. You're Jacob Teal. Jacob Teal, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's a good name. I like that. And you're in a band called?
The Faint.
Wow, how did you come up with the name? Nope, sorry, just kidding. We're
not. It came up with us.
Yeah, it did, I'm sure. So let's see, there's a word called hiatus. You've since then lived in other places like California and Georgia. You were standing around at a show and said, why don't we just play music together again? I believe I've covered all the crap. I want some revisionist history. And by the way, you have the option of lying profusely. Each of you give me something about this band that you've either never been asked or you actually want people to know.
I barely chose music over shooting pool for a living.
Okay, but let me ask you a question now, because this gets into something deep and dark and very important. Were you classically trained at pool?
No.
Were you classically trained at music?
Yes.
Ah, so now, if you went into pool instead of music, being classically trained at music, what chance would you have stood? All the other musicians would have kicked your ass at pool.
Yeah, but I play sharks. And
yes.
I'd win.
You can come in an album to make the songs, or you can come in an album and say, we want to play these live. And these are going to kick ass live. And rumor has it, that you came at this one about the fact that this was going to be a live show. And if you're going to come back, you're known for this.
I think that some of them were like that. Some of the... More than the last record for sure on probably all of them. But some of them we wrote in a live setting, and it was like the second we thought, like, oh, this is good, we're onto something, we were already playing it live, so we knew it was going to work live. And then...
So in between the EP and this, you were testing stuff, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, for instance, when we set up to write this record, we actually set up in a live fashion. We utilized our studio that we built for the previous record in a better way, where we could just jam, so to speak. I know Todd doesn't like that word, so maybe I'll think of it. Maybe a better word, rock.
So much talk is about the sounds on this record. So now I want to know what's real and what's funny. For example, and I want to go through some of this because there really are some great sounds here. And you spend a lot of time knick-knacking around, as we know. We're going to get deep into LEDs and lights and all this gear. Cool. Did you really take a CB radio and put it into a practice amp, or was that you pulling somebody's leg?
No, that's yeah, I bought a CB off the eBay and ran it through. It was actually one that had been modified so that you can just plug it right into a quarter-inch input. So I plugged it into a bunch of stuff. DePose's...
the AC, the DC.
Yeah, DePose's pedal board, which is pretty elaborate. And we plugged
it
into...
Does this guy light up at night by himself? He's like, I plugged it into a bunch of things.
We plugged it into all of our analog synthesizers.
Oh, that didn't work. Break a 1-9. It's like...
Yeah.
So what other weird nonsense did you do to get... Because, you know, a CB into a practice amp's kind of...
But if you want something to feedback...
It's fantastic.
It's perfect.
It's great. Don't we all? Don't we all want something to feedback? I've been looking for that for years.
Yeah. I think we were sort of interested in sounds that that didn't really sound like rock music or electronic music. So like making tiny loops out of things that aren't musical to kind of, they don't really have a real pitch, but you can kind of, there's somewhere, you know, that near pitches, and that out-of-tuneness is kind of nice on some of the songs.
So the genre thing, like, you're coming back in from your hiatus into an EDM world. And you're the Faint, and you've been doing this stuff since 1496. And you are representative to people.
There are a lot of people who look up these, you know, or reference certain publications. And if the first ones that come out are one thing, everybody's asking about, you know, what did these people say that, you know, you're this or that because one person said it that may or may not have known what they're talking about. So it can be annoying. I don't think we have our feelings hurt by these kind of things because we know what we're trying to do. It's just, you know, we hope other people have a similar experience to it that we do, but you can't count on that. So we understand.
3 months is kind of like fast for you to make a record, isn't it? You actually had a timeline here, didn't you? You went in, I read that you went into the studio without a total plan.
Deadline.
And, but you had a deadline. So you're kind of like, oh, we don't know what we're doing here, but we still have to meet the deadline. That's kind of suicidal. Good for you. Yeah.
Not suicidal. That's what made the record what it is. Because we know, we've done it enough times now that we know when we have a deadline, we usually meet it. And it's a pain in the ass to get there, but... And this one wasn't a pain in the ass. It was just fun. But, I mean, it was... We were working... long hours and hard, but it was fun the whole time. But, you know, when we set that deadline, it seemed ridiculous, but we set it anyway, and we just made it happen. And I think what came out was just fun. First thing we came up with, just natural inspiration, rather than sitting and debating over what part could be the best part of for the song. Or
it also got rid of all the personal nonsense, didn't it, really fast, because you're kind of like, well, we're here. We got the studio. We're making something. We don't have time for anything else, right?
I think it was a good idea on multiple levels. Like, one aspect that I figured out after we actually were making the sequence of the album was that it was a lot easier to make a sequence of the album based on the fact that we'd been making all the songs so quickly next to each other. We didn't lose perspective on the other songs. Like, in the past, we'd spend months on one song and then you don't really remember what any of the other things you've been working on sound like, and they don't necessarily even make any sense together.
You had yourself a guy who kind of almost knows how to spin the knobs.
He has a small collection of outboard gear and a, you know, sort of fancy mixing desk.
Sort of fancy
it's a pretty epic
desk.
Studio is what he's trying to say.
So what was it like? You make the stuff, and then did you hand it over, or did you sit over him? And I bet you did. I don't think you handed it. I don't see this group, by any stretch of anyone's imagination, as gear-heady as you are, saying, hey,
there you go.
Here's the files. Take them. Make it sound big.
That's not a... It's kind of half and half, because this one we were in such a rush to keep, like, we would hand off, like, we didn't have it all ready to be mixed when we went in to mix it, so we would hand him a song and be like, all right, start on this one, and then we would go try, like, all right, what's the next song we have to finish, because we have to give him another one in a couple days.
We were recording in our studio.
We were recording at the same time. But so the last few days, or the last day of mixing or whatever, we would go see where he got it, and then we were in there all day,
tweaking,
over his shoulder, telling him to change
tweaking
stuff.
His stuff.
But, and then it was much more of a group.
And he was
process.
Okay with that. The technology finally caught up with this band, didn't it?
I mean, we still think of things that don't exist yet.
No, I know, but back then,
yeah.
Things have changed. Yeah, we've a lot of the we kind of embraced some MIDI stuff a really long time ago, before there seemed to be good hubs and I don't know what you call them, interfaces to be able to orchestrate control changes and this kind of stuff from, you know, all the instruments and all the lighting and videos and all.
You've got LED drums, you've got video screens that come alive.
Yeah.
You've got all these toys. So talk about, just quickly, because we're going to do the last thing, but talk about a couple of favorites, because the drums have been talked about a lot, but I love the process that went into the making of the drums and the thinking of the drums, because there's quite a bit of thinking there. You didn't say, oh, I want the drums to light up. You kind of went a little over the top.
I feel like we try to go slick, but we're just not that slick, so it ends up right in a good sweet spot in between. Because we do it all ourselves, and we don't really know what we're doing.
You didn't have British designer Clyde. Yeah.
There's the problem that we can't fix every time that's just part of the look. Like, well, that's just as good as I could get it, guys. I guess that will give it that little bit of DIY flair.
But all kidding aside, isn't that what the audience comes for? You're from Nebraska, for Christ's sake. I mean, I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and here's what it is. It's two faint songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between